Radio Prague News.
The Chinese authorities summoned the Czech ambassador in connection with a visit to Prague by the Dalai Lama. Czechs must prepare to combat disinformation, says the Minister of the Interior. And the Czech Prime Minister says EU sanctions against Russia must remain in place in their current form. The Chinese authorities summoned the Czech ambassador to Beijing, Bedřich Kopecký, due to their disquiet over a visit to Prague by the Dalai Lama, Aktualnye.cz reported. The meeting took place on the 18th of October, before the Tibetan spiritual leader was received by the Czech Culture Minister Daniel Herman, the news website said. The Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs confirmed to the Idnes.cz website that Mr. Kopecký had been summoned. The official told Beijing that it was a private visit by the Dalai Lama, and the meeting with Mr. Herman was also a private matter. The Czech Republic must prepare to combat disinformation and hybrid threats, the country's interior minister Milan Chovanec said on Thursday. Speaking at an international NATO conference on the subject in Prague, Mr. Chovanec said the government needed to untangle the misleading information spread by what he called successful disinformation websites. Speaking at the same conference, the chairman of the NATO Military Committee, General Petr Pavel, highlighted the particular dangers of Russian and Islamic State disinformation. A new Czech centre focused on the fight against terrorism, hybrid threats and foreign propaganda is to be created in January. The Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka says EU sanctions against Russia must remain in place in their current form unless progress is made in resolving the conflict in eastern Ukraine. Speaking before flying to an EU summit in Brussels, Mr. Sobotka told the Lower House's Foreign Affairs Committee that he would not support a tightening of the sanctions against Moscow as he did not possess an analysis of the possible impact of additional measures. He said supporting the sanctions had not been easy for the Czech Republic as the decision had negative implications for the country's economy. President Miloš Zeman is refusing to promote the head of the Czech prison service, the Czech news agency reported. The Minister of Justice, Robert Pelikán, has proposed that Petr Dohnal be made General Major and the advance in rank was approved by the Cabinet earlier this week. Mr. Pelikán's suggestion that Mr. Dohnal's deputy be promoted is also being ignored by the President. The news comes soon after the Justice Minister criticised the statement from Mr. Zeman and three other senior officials, reassuring China that the Czech Republic's position on Tibet was unchanged, despite a Czech minister receiving the Dalai Lama. The Czech government has signed an investment contract with the US company General Electric for a plan to develop, test and produce turboprop aircraft engines. The centre is expected to create around 500 jobs. The Czech news agency said the deal was worth at least 1.35 billion crowns, which is considerably less than the 9.5 billion crowns previously reported. And the weather, we can expect rain and temperatures of around 11 degrees Celsius on Friday. Daytime highs should be similar at the weekend, but some sunny spells are also due. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. With me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, waves of controversy continue surrounding the visit by the Dalai Lama to Prague. We'll have details in a moment. The U.S. manufacturing giant General Electric has signed an agreement to build a new generation of turbojet aircraft engines here in the Czech Republic. And in the second half of today's program, stay tuned and find out about our visit to Nový Bor, that's the heart of the Czech glass-making industry. A visit by the Tibetan spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, to Prague this week has turned into a hot political issue. A joint statement by key politicians reassuring Beijing of the country's continued pro-China orientation has evoked a storm of protests and accusations of uncalled-for, shameful servility. Daniela Lazareva has more.
The Czech Republic's strong pro-China orientation and the close ties that have evolved in developing a strategic partnership with the country have been a matter of dispute on the domestic scene for some time. The latest visit by the Tibetan spiritual leader and his meetings with a number of ministers and lawmakers underscored some of the implications of the deepening ties between Prague and Beijing, resulting in a reprimand from the Chinese Foreign Ministry and speedy reassurances from Prague, which have left many asking just how far the government is prepared to go in the interest of economic diplomacy. Meetings between the Dalai Lama and Culture Minister Daniel Herman, Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bielobradek and the deputy speakers of the upper and lower chambers, labelled as private, inevitably raised hackles in Beijing. A Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman said the Dalai Lama was in Prague to engage in anti-China separatist activities and expressed the hope that the Czech government would take steps to maintain the present good momentum in Sino-Czech relations. The Chinese ambassador to Prague met with the Czech president's chief foreign policy adviser, and just hours later, the president, prime minister, and speakers of both houses of parliament issued a rare joint statement stressing that Tibet is regarded as an integral part of China, and the meetings between some Czech politicians and the Tibetan spiritual leader do not signal a change in the country's official policy line in relations with China. The statement evoked a storm of protest from politicians and academics. 50 lawmakers promptly met with the Dalai Lama in a show of defiance to the official policy line, and half the country's universities hoisted Tibetan flags in a show of solidarity. Leader of the opposition Civic Democrats, Petr Fiala.
This statement was uncalled for, undignified and servile. I have no idea why our leaders felt the need to make it.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka defended the statement drafted by the foreign ministry, saying it fully reflected the government's foreign policy line in relations with China.
Everyone has the right to meet who they want. I see no problem with that. But on the other hand, the country's leaders also have the right to issue a statement confirming the basic principles of our foreign policy line with respect to China.
According to senior Czech diplomat Petr Kolář, China very likely exerted strong pressure on Prague, allegedly threatening to pull out of the 16-plus-1 talks scheduled to take place in the Czech capital next year. He says the government's response was over hasty and unnecessary.
Had the Czech government stood its ground, we would have seen some turbulence in bilateral relations. China has its own vested interests in Europe. It would have found a way to digest this minor incident, and the 16-plus-1 meeting would have taken place. It's in their interests as well as in ours.
Czech diplomat Petr Kolář ending that report by Daniela Lazarová about the continuing controversy over the recent visit by the Dalai Lama. U.S. manufacturing giant General Electric has signed an agreement to design and build a new generation of turbojet aircraft engines in the Czech Republic. Apart from the 500 new jobs that are promised, Czech politicians have highlighted the deal as an indicator of where the country wants to be with high-paid jobs, backed up by research and close ties with university. Chris Johnston has the details.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka there describing how the General Electric deal signed on Thursday should be a signpost for the Czech Republic's future, bringing high-paid skill jobs where workers add considerably to the value of the end product and research institutions and universities are involved in the development. The path from initial talks about the investment, which will make the Czech Republic General Electric's sole site worldwide for producing these turboprop engines from 2022, to the final deal has been long and difficult. One of the reasons is that this deal is a lot broader than those in the past, which simply aimed at bringing production capacity to the country. General Electric's International Vice President John Rice gave some of the background to the investment decision at the signing ceremony.
We've been active here for decades. I want to go back to 2008 when we invested in the Valtr engine company. That introduced us to new capabilities in the Czech Republic, and from that foundation, producing 5 engines a year to today, producing 75 engines a year, we've seen the capabilities of the Czech workforce. That experience and the confidence that we have in the people that are doing the work here has created an environment which gives us the reason to make this announcement.
The total investment in the new engine plant is estimated to be around 1.35 billion crowns, around 50 million euros. But the breakdown of what's being brought to the table by the US conglomerate and covered by Czech investment incentives hasn't yet been revealed. The site for the new factory should be announced by the middle of next year. One particular aspect of this agreement is the commitment of the Czech Technical University in Prague to bring its know-how and research to the development of the new GE aircraft engines. And the engines themselves? Well, GE sees bright prospects for these sort of engines for propeller aircraft, which are mostly used on aircraft making short-haul flights of a few hundred miles, but often have a range of 1,000 miles and beyond. GE Aviation General Manager Paul Corkery.
So from our perspective, of course, we think this market's going to continue to grow. We think it was ready for a new technology step. And we're bringing that new technology to this market with this engine. It's a very high-tech engine. So we think that this is the right market, the right investment, and it's going to grow over the next couple of decades.
Actually, GE sees demand for its new turboprop engine, which should consume around 15% less fuel than the current models, growing the range of high single-digit figures annually.
Chris Johnston reporting on that contract just signed here in the Czech Republic. Now it's time for today's main feature, Panorama, where Daniela Lazarová visits Nový Bor.
The history of Nový Bor in North Bohemia is indelibly linked with the art of glassmaking. The tradition of glassmaking in the region goes back more than 700 years, thanks to abundant stocks of wood used as both fuel and raw material, and crushed quartz used in the melting of glass. The region provided ideal conditions for the craft. Glassworks in different areas date back to medieval times and have been traced due to various archaeological finds, such as small pieces of melted glass and fragments of glass moulds in places where old glassworks used to stand. From the early 17th century, Bohemian glassmasters were much sought after for their skills. The towns of Kamenický Šenov and Nový Bor were famed for their glassblowers, painters, cutters and engravers, exporting their products to royal houses around Europe as well as to America and Asia. The first schools in the art of glassmaking appeared in the second half of the 19th century. The one founded in 1856 in Kamenický Šenov is considered to be the oldest institution of its type in Europe. In 1870, a similar school was established in Nový Bor. Both were pioneers in the art of glassmaking and both exist to this day. After the communist takeover in 1948, the authorities merged dozens of small glass companies into large state-owned businesses. Despite the centralized management, which ended private business activities and home workshops, the well-established craft flourished. Bohemian glass was one of the country's leading export articles, and Czech glass blowers and designers scored great successes at prestigious exhibitions around the world. New windows of opportunity opened up after the fall of communism in 1989. And although the glassmaking industry felt the impact of the global crisis and some companies were forced to close, the glassmaking tradition survived. Today, Nový Bor boasts one of the most successful glass design companies in the world, Lasvit, which together with the famous Aieto Glassworks in Lindava, delivers Bohemian glass to demanding clients the world over. The glass industry is once again booming and demand is so high that the local glass schools find it hard to meet demand for talented, fresh graduates. Jiří Suchý is a glass master at the School of Glass Art and Design in Nový Bor, which has approximately 400 students.
The glassmaking companies in the region are in contact with us all the time, letting us know their needs.
Right now, there is a big demand for engravers, blowers, and mold producers. Practically every week, we get a call from this or that company looking for a suitable graduate.
The school has its own workshops with small melting furnaces, painting on glass classes, classes for engravers and cutters, and is the last school of its kind in the country which teaches the art of making glass molds. Glassmaster Pavel File says the secret of this school's success lies in specialization.
We believe strongly in specialization, so the way things work at our school is that students focus on a certain field, such as glass blowing, engraving, painting, or vitrage. Abroad, you'll find that students are expected to learn a bit of everything. It's a broader scope. But I think our graduates have an edge because they are highly specialized in their field.
Jiří Suchý says that during the lean years, at the time of the global crisis, interest in the profession dwindled, and it was largely young people from families with a history in glassmaking who enrolled at the school. Today, as the glassmaking business is once again peaking and companies are offering talented graduates exceptional opportunities, young people from further afield come to the town to learn the centuries-old craft. 16-year-old Lenka says she saw engravers at work on a school trip to the town glassworks and decided this was what she wanted to do. After just 3 weeks in her first year, she knows she made the right decision. I don't find it too difficult. You just have to get the hang of it, and this is something I really enjoy doing. Lenka has 2.5 days of theory a week, and the same amount of time is spent in the workshop. Her teacher says that in 3 weeks' time she has made as much progress as others make in 2 months. He predicts that when she graduates in 3 years' time, she will have her pick of jobs at glassmaking companies in the region. Glassmaster Jiří Suchý, who likewise fell in love with his profession at first sight on a visit to the Nový Bor glassworks, says he is not worried about these kids' future prospects.
You know, that is the way things are in business. There are cycles of prosperity and decline, so you always have ups and downs in every trade. So we had a global crisis recently and some companies suffered, but that is nothing unusual. It is the way things are. But that doesn't mean the end of the glassmaking business. Not in a million years.
Glass artist Marek Efmert could testify to that. A successful graduate in the field, he is now one of the bright lights of the Lasvit company. I asked him to explain what it is that he does.
I received a design from designers, and I have to think about the easiest way or easiest solution how to make it happen. So I get the design, then I go to the studio and start prototyping the piece, you know, whether it's lightning or sculpture or trophy. So that's what I do.
So you actually blow the glass?
Yeah. Either blow or just shape, you know. It depends if it's a solid sculpture or if it's a blown piece. So that depends on the design. But yeah, the first prototypes are in my hands.
What does a good glass blower, what qualities does a good glass blower need?
It's a tricky question. I guess a little bit of imagination and a little bit of luck for the first prototyping. And of course, some skills of a glass blowing. You know, you can't do it in the first year of training. So you need to have some experiences. You know, you need to know some techniques which are used worldwide or which are, you know, known for a certain place. And of course, because of the studios are all different everywhere in the world, then you have to kind of adapt to the studio where you're working. So it depends on the place where you do the design, and it depends on the group of glass blowers you are working with. So all those things, they have to, you know, connect together nicely, and then you can work fine.
Is it physically demanding work?
It is. It depends on the size of the piece. But if you do something big, something heavy, yeah, you're tired. Yeah.
What do you like most about glass blowing?
I think the heat and the smoke is always something nice, you know. And I like the people around me, you know, that we all are kind of a nice group of people and helping each other and doing some nice fun stuff. So it's like playing, you know, all the time. So I don't really take it as a work. I always think about it like I'm still kind of playing with the glass. So that's nice.
Do you not dream of making your own designs?
I did when I before I started working for Lasvit. I used to do a lot of my stuff, my own things, and from time to time, you know, on Sundays or Saturdays, because the studio is running 24/7 every day, but Glassblowers doesn't work like all week. So on Saturdays and Sundays they're off, and the studio is free. So I come here, and not every weekend, but from time to time I come here and do my own things because I miss them, you know, just for. You know, for memories. So
you're Lasvit's best glassblower. What gives you an edge over everyone else? What makes you special?
Oh, Jesus! I don't know. I guess the experiences. I used to travel a lot, and I worked in different studios all over the world. So I know a lot of techniques which are used in the different places, and I can bring those techniques over here and use them for pieces we do for Lasvit.
You're just back from London's Design Week, where you presented some of Lasvit's work. What are the latest trends in glassblowing?
Latest trends? I think just simplicity of the glass, you know, just simple shapes, just few colors, not a lot of colors, not to get totally crazy in the shaping of the glass. Just, you know, simple shapes, easy lines, and that's about it.
And glass artist Marek F. Mert ending that edition of Panorama with Daniel Lazarová visiting Nový Bor, the heart of the Czech glassmaking business. We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you'd like to comment, it's easy to do so. Write to english@radio.cz, drop us a line. And as always, you'll find many more stories, features, news items, and all kinds of good stuff at our webpage, radio.cz. You can also add your comments or put questions at Twitter or Facebook. I'm Jan Fellinger for myself and for the rest of us here at Radio Prague. Thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.